Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, welcome to the big show. It's Thursday. For some of us, the weekend starts here. We're here to discuss the week in technology. A fantastic week that it's been. Lots and lots of stories to go through. And some breaking news, it would seem. Joining me, I've got an enormous panel this week. Thanks to a bit of a cock-up in coordination between me and Mr. Paul Wheatley, we've got five guests instead of four. But there are five guests here who are really worth having, I'm telling you. Top left, it's the man who took over in the role of Zorro from Dom DeLuise. Steve Neighbour.
I don't get the Zorro thing.
Oh, mate. Your facial hair is immense. 6 days of facial hair.
Well, my wife has been away for 6 days, so I thought I'd surprise her when she comes home and have some rubbish-type beard.
Nah,
it's
mate.
Quite hard growing a beard, actually.
I know your wife. You thought you'd surprise her and have a shave.
Well, yeah, she might convince me to have a shave if she's good.
How you been, sir? Chairman of the Mac London user group, of course, which I forgot to mention, so...
Yeah, we got obviously Mac User Group, and we've got a big event on the 12th, which we're kind of making big preparations for.
Is that still allegedly, though?
Hope not, because we've booked a new venue, something twice as big as the old one, upstairs, brilliant internet. So, so it should be a big event that we've got.
You've got to say, it's getting a bit close, mate.
I hope it gets confirmed, otherwise it's going to cost us a little bit of money. But we've got sponsorship, so we're good.
Okay, well, excellent. Who are the sponsors, then?
TechSmith.
Oh, we love TechSmith.
They're brilliant. They're brilliant.
Betsy's...
They just rung up and said, we'd like to join you in the whatever keynote event is, and we'll help you out to fund it. So, yeah, it's good.
TechSmith are the fantastic people who sponsored our bash this year. They gave us pig and beer till it was coming out of our ears, and some was left over for about a week.
Still eating it.
Yeah, they were great. So, TechSmith, look after their products. They've got a new product out as well, which is about sports thing. I'll talk about that later. Next to Steve, we've got Sarah. How you doing, Mrs.?
Oh, I was expecting to be third. So
no, I've got you in the wrong order. It's my fault.
Oh, well, never mind. Yeah, no,
good
I'm
week.
Fine. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a bit manic, but...
The only person I've ever known who's overslept for the big show at 8 p.m.
I was hoping you weren't going to mention that, Ewan.
Well, you shouldn't have said it then, should you?
All right, I shouldn't have done. Just only because I was a bit late, that's all.
He's been partying for 48 hours straight.
I wish that was the excuse, Eric, because I would then at least have a good reason for that. But no, I was catching a crafty half-hour kip before the show.
Have you been out in a swimming pool recently, Sarah?
Why?
Have you been playing poker at all? Strip poker with anyone famous recently? Is that why you're sleeping in the day? Because you've been busy partying out with Prince Harry?
I'd have to be doing the show from Las Vegas, wouldn't I?
Well, I never know with you.
You never know.
We don't know you're not.
Yeah, there you go. So
not familiar surroundings unless I've... I'm green screening this, really.
Exactly. It's all fake. In between Steve and Sarah, because I just wanted to miss out the second Steve in a row, is Steve Wexelstein, CTO at Open Ear Music in Glasgow. How are you doing, sir?
I'm very well.
You have a fantastic new computer with a camera that looks like you're on Brief Encounter.
Exactly. It's very misty up here in Scotland. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I've got the window open right now.
Mist between us and him.
Exactly.
Welcome to the big show, mate. Feel free.
Thank you very much.
And next to him, opposite him, we've got Eric Lanigan from the US. How you doing, mate?
I'm good. I'm good. And I...
Go on.
I'm looking forward to the cool thing because I've got two good ones.
Josh! Two! Lanigan's got two picks. Unheard
of. If you're a fan of 2D classic gaming on Xbox with 3D HD graphics, stick around because you won't be disappointed.
Did I join the show at the end of the show?
No, we're coming back to it. Don't worry, that's called the teaser, mate. That's called the teaser. And in the middle, joining us from Scotland in a fantastic wall that looks on the thumbnail like it's a green backdrop. Ian Mackay from the iOS show, how are you doing?
Pretty good, thanks, Ewan. I had it painted specially.
And the web show, yeah. Really. No, you've got the lighting just right, mate. It's got a lovely halo effect just to the left of your ears.
I decided to have the light in front of me rather than behind me for a change, and it seems to be working out. So I had to move the desk. But
no, that looks good. Looks good.
Do you have glowing LEDs in your microphone?
No, it just looks like that. I'm quite keen on the effect.
It looks great.
You're a Dalek.
Do you know the really creepy thing about this?
What's that? Ewan?
When you actually see that colour background is exactly the same as my wallpaper. So he kind of blends. When I'm looking at the picture, it completely blends into the background.
What are you going to say, Sarah? Why have you been sleeping so much then? No?
I thought the spooky thing was that you've been dreaming about him for the last few hours. In that scenario.
Moving on.
Yeah, all right, okay.
Yeah, moving on. The week in technology. It's been a wonderful week. Apparently, Motorola have some new phones out. Does that remind you of anything? Could it be the Sidekick by any chance?
Looks like the...
Could it be an opportunity for massive data loss recovered only by Microsoft from between 2 and 5 years ago?
Or just the Droid 1?
That's not the Droid 1, is it? It didn't have a slide-open keyboard.
Yeah, it looks like... Was it the Nokia N95 with that, didn't it?
Yeah,
but the N95 wasn't that. It was up. Anyway, and they also
We're ruining Ewan's joke.
No, it's all right. There's another one as well. Does that remind you of anything?
BlackBerry.
So
I don't know if you've ever been into a phone shop recently, Ewan, but like everything at the pay as you go into the market looks like a BlackBerry. It's that's what they want to sell the kids these days. There's like the 73
even though it hasn't got BBM on it.
Yeah.
It's a Motorberry, isn't it?
The Motorberry. There we go. It's awful. It's awful. They've also released a bike helmet which blows cold air over your face, which I can see as being extremely expensive and not very good. And it's been confirmed this week, thanks to some scientists in Russia, that cats do not cause brain tumours, which they thought they did.
Well, I, for one, am very relieved to
hear that. I have a cat. I don't have a brain tumour. I'm very relieved too. And last but by no means least, Amazon have said that there is a big thing going on September the 6th. Andy Anatko, who was on the Mac Show last week with us, had an invite, but he doesn't know what's going to happen. And it's a long way to go. It's in Los Angeles, apparently. So he doesn't know whether to go or not. And they haven't said any... There's no release dates or anything like that, so they don't know what's going to go off. It's just a date where everything's happening. Blimey. Isn't it exciting?
New Kindles.
Sorry.
New Kindles?
Yep.
You reckon?
Yep. And what else would it be? It's time. They've got to have a new Kindle Fire for this holiday season, right?
This is Amazon we're talking about. It could be anything.
Yeah.
It could be a new Starship. It could be a delivery service to Mars Curiosity.
Or it even could be a new long-term backup and archival service.
Are you talking about Glacier?
Yes, I am.
Are you sure that's going to be Glacier as in Glacier, that well-known service, or it won't turn into Iceberg Dead Ahead?
Yes.
Thanks, mate.
They're just riffing on the name. They're waiting like an extra week to announce it. They're doing that slowly.
I don't think so. Eric, you were really excited about this. Come on. Why are you so excited about Glacier?
Because this... I was just reading an article recently from a guy, Larry Jordan, I think, who does a bunch of Final Cut Pro training stuff, and he does actually Final Cut and Avid. He does all these like training series. So I get some kind of email newsletter from him, and I check out his blog because he talks to Apple. He's one of the few guys who talks to Apple and finds out what a terrible roadmap they're on with Final Cut Pro 10, which I've been reading his articles each week to see glitchy. What's going on. What?
It's glitchy. I've got to say, I started off, I loved it to bits. I like the magnetic stuff at the top, but in the last sort of 10 weeks, I've started to find a lot of holes. It glitches stuff. It doesn't follow stuff through. Little simple things like you can't associate. You have to physically drag a sound file over and attach it to something else if you want to replace the one clip that it's attached to. Otherwise, it just deletes it.
It's unbearable at Final Cut 10. I mean, you can't keep audio and video in sync. It's just suddenly out of sync and there's no way to repair it or to lock two tracks together.
But having said that... But having said that, if you've got an audio track playing in the background and you've got the actual music track, it syncs it perfectly.
Yes, if you have an underlying video, like an audio bed.
Yeah, and if say you've got a track playing in the background, then you can drag another clip in and it will automatically sync it. It's perfect.
Right, but unfortunately, none of the things I've ever edited have had that. And it's always been more of a painstaking thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I literally was in there. I hadn't opened it for months, and I was in there trying to do something. And I was like, after 2 hours, I could not do the most simple resynchronization. If you do a lot of editing where you're editing where the video is locked to audio and you can't change that because it was like a one take or a single camera shot, you're screwed. You can't use Final Cut 10. And then after 2 hours of trying that, the program crashed. I didn't lose my data, but it has to go through this whole opening process again. For all these reasons, it's a disaster. But that's really off topic because...
Yes, get back to Glacier.
Yes. Amazon Glacier. So what this guy Larry Jordan was writing about is, what do you do for archival storage? Even in the biggest media production industries like local news and places, there really is no good tapeless archival solution. You know, videotape, they'd record it, put it on a shelf, and it would be there for 20, 30 years. They come back even more and you can restore it and get access to it. Digital assets, you know, you go and you shoot something, you've got a terabyte worth of irreplaceable original source media that doesn't really have a good backup solution. Hard drives are not a good solution. That's what I use. I put things onto just like bare hard drives and a dock. But I've heard very scary statistics about their reliability. So there's no good solution. And the article was about a tape backup drive being the best solution for archiving like big ProRes files and camera originals. But that requires like $1,000 for the tape drive alone. And then there was a whole complicated thing. So with that in mind, I was excited, very excited to see this Amazon Glacier, half a penny. No, wait, 0.1 cents per gigabyte. So 1/100th of a penny per gigabyte per month for this new long-term storage. I think they're saying you can upload, actually I'm seeing conflicting things because the article just said unlimited upload for no cost. This says, I think 0.1 pennies per gigabyte per month for the upload. Basically, you just upload gobs and gobs and gobs of data to the service for very cheaply. They're going to really rival tape backup, I think. And this could really be good, not just for people with real assets of like media to store, but even like me, who's just got like plenty of, I mean, anything I've ever edited in Final Cut is like generates all these ProRes files. That's why for me, for a video editor, real cloud backup storage, cloud backup of my computers has been impossible because I've got these massive ProRes files that just have nowhere to go. You can't upload those things. So this looks like if I really spent the time and had the bandwidth to do one upload, they promise, you know, 99.999% reliability. And then if you need the data, it's very cheap to get it back and it would just take the download time. And I trust Amazon with their reliability. So I think this is really cool.
Does this, I mean, opening it out to the rest of the panel here, does this not lack, I mean, I made the joke about Iceberg earlier on, but the thing that really kind of kills this is the fact that it's meant for long-term backup solutions with low quantities of access. You're not looking at instant cloud service here. This is really fire it away and forget about it. And is that the limitation of it effectively?
But, yep. Well, sorry, just you know, from a cloud service point of view as well, you know, most of the cost when you're using the Amazon services comes from the fact that you're pushing data in and out. And a lot of small startups who want to capture vast quantities of data about users, about their behaviors, you know, it's a very limiting feature in terms of cost. So this just gives them another kind of option to harvest that data and push it away into an environment that, you know, in a year or two that they could come back to and kind of use that and monetize it in some way as well. So, you know, and while I can accept about the kind of video file, you know, it's a good solution for storing video files and offline for a large period of time, it also has a big implication for kind of small startup digital companies as well.
What volume are we talking there, Steve, in terms of data?
You know, what we're finding now is, you know, with small startups, like, you know, people have this terminology of, oh, we need to capture everything about the app, about what's going on. You know, you're talking terabytes of data that used to, you know, previous company that I used to work for, it used to take a whole weekend to back the data up, you know. And, you know, what's happening now is you kind of used to have to have a backup strategy, which meant, you know, we'll delete certain amount of data and then we'll overwrite it with the new stuff that we're backing up. Now with this, you just kind of just keep backing it up into space, if you like, you know, so that in a year or two, you can come back to it.
And then make another important distinction. Accessing the files can typically complete in 3 to 5 hours, it says. So your request time, I don't know how they're doing this. Somehow it's to save money. But when you request your file back, it takes 3 to 5 hours in order for it to start downloading, just to start downloading. And then you've got however long, if it's a multi-gigabyte file, that would be obviously a very long time. But that's why this could be really great for like long-term archiving. They mentioned like compliance with data keeping, like records keeping for financial reasons, all kinds of stuff like that, where you probably won't have to get back to it, but it's nice to be there. Also, hard drive archives. For years, whenever I do a new operating system upgrade, I've done a full system clone and save that off to an external drive. Because I always notice later down the line, what if I'm on a new system or migrating to a system, I'll go like, oh, shoot, there was some kind of font or something in the system folder that the data transfer didn't get. So it's nice to go back and find that thing, or an old application that you don't have anymore. But, you know, those things take up a lot of space on hard drives you have to buy. So this is nice just to throw it up on the cloud. And if I ever need it, on the off chance, you can get it back for pretty cheap.
Although they've said there's a cost for uploading it, have they said how much it is for downloading it?
Yes. Let me see. Downloading it is more expensive.
It's 5 cents, effectively.
Yeah, because obviously what you're doing is you're adding things of value into the cloud, and Amazon are controlling the access to those files. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me in the future if they're saying at the moment, okay, it's 5 cents per download, and it takes 5 hours to get back. And then in the future, they may offer, if you pay $10 or whatever it is, you know, we'll get it to you in an hour.
Good point.
What was the name of the bad guy in Austin Powers?
Dr. Evil.
I reckon Dr. Evil set this up, because I'm looking at the data out transfer rates. And the size of data they're talking about, up to 10 terabytes, is $0.012 per gigabyte. Up to 40 terabytes, up to 100 terabytes, up to 350 terabytes, up to 524 terabytes, up to four petabytes?
Petabytes.
Up to 4 petabytes per month. Greater than 5.
NSA can store the entire contents of their wiretapping data logs on the Glacier.
I was thinking it might be more appealing to organizations like governments and banks and things, but equally they're going to want to have full ownership of their own stuff. Although the one thing that did occur to me is they might use their other core competency, and they might, you know, when you want your data back, they send a guy from DHL around with a van full of hard drives rather than you downloading it all.
Yeah, that's going to work.
Well, actually, I hope they do offer that eventually. They said they've got plans in store for this, one of which is, I'm reading on their website, which is aws.amazon.com/glacier. They talk about future upgrades, one of which would be automated archiving from your S3. So like if your S3 data reaches a certain age, it'll automatically be backed up to there. And maybe you can also do direct import-export from your S3. S3, of course, being the more active web storage for like hosting real websites off of fast access to import from the slow access, which I think this is cool.
I think it's interesting what regions you can use this for. US East, North Virginia, is that Microsoft? Oregon, Northern California, Ireland, lucky buggers, Asia Pacific, Singapore, Tokyo, and San Pablo. Those are the only places that can access it at the moment.
No, oh, that's interesting.
That's my worldwide update for you.
Your video's frozen as well, mate, by the way. Everyone's video's frozen, actually, funny enough.
And you can save a lot of money, too, by choosing the location. Because if you choose, depending on the coast, if I choose Northern California, my price jumps from 0.1 cents to 0.11 cents.
The one thought that went through my mind about this when we were talking about the using it as a regular backup service is, what happens about bandwidth caps? Because if you're using this on a regular basis, you're going to burn through that at a rapid rate of knots.
I don't think we're talking about a small business use here. This is huge stuff, isn't it?
No, I know, but it's still, if you're updating huge amounts, and somebody said petabytes, that's sure as hell going to cause some serious problems.
That's a lot.
5 petabytes per month.
Comcast calls you up, they're like, your cap is 250 gigabytes? You've uploaded more than the entire contents of our international network.
I've got no idea why, because everyone's video is fine, but the ones on the screen are frozen on Wirecast. So, anyone got any solutions? Otherwise, you're all still for the night. Joe! I broke it!
And I've gone completely.
Yeah, Sarah's gone completely.
Oh, well,
but,
never mind.
But you guys aren't moving at all, and it's every single outfeed from every single camera, so...
Well, yet another reason why data caps are a terrible thing, and might that be a segue into the FCC story?
Go ahead, Eric. Segue it.
Okay. Well, I know someone needs to talk.
No, go on. Segue the way. Go on.
All right. Well, FCC released a document that says that 19 million Americans do not have access to broadband. I assume they mean don't even have the ability to pay for it if they could, because it's just not wired in their residence area. And so they awarded the big $35 million contract to some company to build it out. Anyone else before I give my commentary?
No, go for it. Go.
All right. I don't know what's going on at the FCC, but this Julius Genachowski is just ridiculous. I mean, they just recently, like in the last week or so, gave all the spectrum that Verizon wanted to buy from all the cable guys. Remember this, I don't want to go into all the backstory, but remember Comcast and Time Warner and Bright House and the whole collaboration of the big major broadband or, you know, wireline cable TV and cable internet companies got together a few years ago and bought huge amounts of 4G spectrum with the intention of maybe selling their own wireless phone service and wireless internet to compete with Verizon, AT&T, et cetera. Verizon reached a deal where they would buy all that from them and in exchange enter a licensing agreement where they would lay down arms and say, we won't sell, or rather, we a joint marketing venture. So you get the airwaves, Verizon, and we get the wireline broadband. And in exchange, we promote your cellular phone service and you promote our digital cable service. And in exchange, the cable guys would not build out a phone network and Verizon would stop their Verizon Fios fiber to the curb system, which everyone was very angry about because that was like the last big hope of the of American broadband. And they just laid down their arms and made this deal. So basically, long story short, if you follow and dig into what the FCC has going for the national broadband plan, there's just some really, I think, deep and long-term corruption with this stuff. These companies were started as a monopoly. Then they were deregulated and said other people have to, or rather more regulations and more, you have to share the lines. Then they said, no one should have to share the lines. They're just yours. You own all of the broadband service. And now after having created the monopolies and they say, hey, no one has access, instead of doing a cheaper, see, this is why I wanted someone else to talk first, because it's just me otherwise, that they're paying now the monopoly full price to build out these things. And then they charge the people the full price. So you have this weird thing where they're claiming it's not government regulation. They're claiming it's this free market thing, but really it's this massively corrupt way to charge non-free market, extremely monopolistic prices as created by the FCC, taxpayer funded. And then in the end, everyone gets screwed. Did that make any sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I counted three breaths then. That's your record, I reckon.
I mean, we're all in the UK. None of us give a toss.
Right.
Well, there are some areas in like rural Scotland and Wales that have similar issues. But, you know, the government's supposed to be putting subsidies for those things. And despite the fact they put in subsidies, they never quite get done. And the really rural stuff, you know, has to survive on stuff like satellite broadband, which is just bizarre.
And expensive.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say there's probably not 19 million people without broadband here, though.
That's yeah. Interestingly, I think over here, Ofcom actually define it as less than 2 meg speed, whereas in the US, they're talking about 4.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing for me is the fact that we all paid 50 pence tax on our phone bills last year to improve rural broadband up to 2 megabits per second. And most rural areas aren't getting 2 megabits per second.
Well, maybe you're wrong, sir.
I'm wrong. Go on.
Yeah, I've got a quote here from the UK broadband minister, Jeremy Hunt.
Oh, that rhymes with something else, but go on.
It does. And he says, in 2010, he pledged to give the UK the best broadband in Europe, which is why we all paid 50 pence more on our bills. And now, this week, he said, after 2 years, we have the lowest cost, most comprehensive and fastest broadband of any major European country.
My arse.
He's smoking crack, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, let's do a quick straw poll.
Allegedly.
What's your sold speed around the panel and what's your received speed on this then? So Steve, start us off.
Sold 30, I get about 30.
All right, okay. And you're with Virgin?
Yeah.
Okay, Steve W?
I was sold 20, I get about 7.
That you're on BT then?
Yeah. But it's still an improvement on 12 months ago.
Which you, what are you getting paid for? How are you getting humped then, mate?
Yeah, I was on some Freedom to Surf, which was an old kind of service. But I'd, by then it was about 2 meg or something.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah.
Sarah, what about you?
Mine is quoted at 80, and I'm getting about 72 last time I checked.
Oh, that's horrendous. How dare they?
Who is that?
BT.
Wow. Well, you got BT at 80?
Yep, because I'm on Infinity 2.
Oh, who did you have to sleep with to get that?
I didn't. Just somebody I know who said told me how to the right person to speak to at BT, and it was done.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good point here from Bookery in the chat room saying, what's the perceived speed, though? I mean, when you're actually physically surfing, do those speeds feel like they feel?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I previously was on about getting about 35 consistently, and I've not really noticed any difference because I don't let down even streaming video. I don't download anything really that often that warrants something that's going to be able to, you're going to tell a huge difference on that.
Mm. Okay.
I only have a 23 megabit connection, but I noticed a lot of websites, a lot of servers would just, they'll still throttle you. I've got that iStat menu in the corner and I always watch it whenever I download something. And it's like, actually a lot of software, like you buy expensive software and then it'll download it like a megabit per second. And you're like, why would you make me wait 4 hours for this thing I just bought? That I just paid for. It's ridiculous. Get a faster server.
Eric, you're on.
This is the whole point, is that it doesn't matter how good the broadband speed is. It's where you're downloading from and what you're downloading that actually makes a difference because it's between here and the server that you're actually connecting to.
About a year ago, I bought a copy of like a Dragon Naturally Speaking thing or whatever the Nuance product is now from Nuance. And I went to download it. It was like a big upgrade fee and I went to download it and it was like a megabit per second. And I was expecting to use this, like to try it out that night. And it's like 4 hours remaining for the download and going at a fraction of my bandwidth, of my total bandwidth. So I popped open speed download. I pasted the URL into there. I said, make, you know, 5 connections go. It's went a little bit faster. Then it said, you've exceeded the amount of times you can download this file. You are locked out. And I had to call the company and complain and to get the right to download the file that I bought. And it was still 4 hours of a download for like a 500 megabyte program. Should have taken 10 minutes.
So you're on Comcast though, right?
Yeah.
So that's the other C word that rhymes with Jeremy Hunt. Yeah. And lastly, Mr. Mackay, what are you on?
I've got 24 advertised and I get about 16 and it feels great. I mean, it feels faster than the broadband I have at the office, which I think is advertised as 40. I've had it for ages. I've not needed to upgrade because it's just been fine for me. But it's all becoming a bit academic, I think, now that Everything Everywhere have just been awarded their 4G contracts this week.
Thank you for that segue, sir. You are awesome. You've done this before. Yes, absolutely.
I actually have a friend who works for Everything Everywhere down south, and he was tweeting about the speeds he was getting. He now seems to have deleted those tweets. I think he's actually under an NDA about it. But he retweeted somebody else that was saying they were getting 38 megabit down and 18 megabit up on 4G, which sounds pretty nice to me. Now all we need is a device that works with it in this country. Obviously, you lucky folks over in the States have the various 4G things and an actual 4G network to use them on, provided you're in a rural area and it's a urban area and nobody else is using it, I guess.
It's interesting you say that, Ian, because I've just had a friend who's come back from a week in New York and he said that he got 4G out there, bought a SIM and slotted it into his phone, and he said it was snot hot. He said it was absolutely incredible speeds, just like you were at home broadband.
Well, in like 5 cities.
Well, New York, he didn't go to 5 cities. He only went to 1.
Right. I'm just putting it in perspective.
Yeah, thanks. Cheers, mate. But is Everything Everywhere being awarded this trial a good thing or a bad thing? Because at the moment, I'm sat on the 3 network thinking, why the hell haven't I got it? And also, I'm thinking, why the hell haven't 3 actually got the 3G service working properly in the first place?
Oh, I think free service is the best in the UK.
I don't think it's bad. It's not bad. I've driven through a few rural areas today. I've been out to Saffron Walden. Do you remember
Saffron Walden?
It is. It's gorgeous.
In Essex.
And had a very nice Indian meal in Saffron Walden many years ago.
Steeple Bumstead.
Yep.
That was
Milton
nice.
Little Milton.
Maybe.
We could just name country names, all villages, all
that. I was using Waze, and I've got to say, I'm very impressed with Waze since Andy and Atco mentioned it last week. I tried it, and I think it's great. However, as soon as you get off the M11, it's just dire. It's awful. It doesn't update the map. You can't see anyone else around you. You don't get any warnings. And when you get into the middle of Steeple Bumstead, mate, forget it. You might as well be on Mars. Curiosity's got more idea where it's going.
So I can't wait till we get 4G.
So, well, what are you going to do with it, though?
It'd be better speeds than over the cable in most places, if most places get it. We've got some trials at work, and we're talking about 8 megabytes, 80 megabytes down and kind of 20 megabytes up. That's almost tube speed. So yeah, I think it'd be amazing to get that in a mobile area.
Yeah, but surely you'd be paying much more than you would for the wireline broadband. I mean, that's the case here. Verizon does sell a product that you can put on your, like you can attach to the outside of your house. That's like a 4G receiver to do broadband. And they do advertise and market that, but they charge you the cell phone price. So you're paying like $30 a gigabyte or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. Eric, I don't think you realize just how much you guys get ripped off in the States for your bandwidth on mobile.
Well, I realize.
We pay far less. You know, we can get a mobile contract for like £15 a month and you guys are paying like $70. It's ridiculous.
Right. And that's why I also want to point out, because a lot of times I hear you guys say, oh, you guys in the States are so lucky with that 4G. And let's put that in perspective, too. Verizon's LTE is in like 5 cities and it's throttled down to the speed of your 3G. On the other side of that, you got AT&T and T-Mobile advertising 4G networks, which is literally a 3G network with increased speed. And what they call 4G speed in the States is basically what you guys get for 3G, but we pay twice the price for it.
Yeah, and you have to pay for like text messages. I don't get that. I don't think I've paid for a text message for like 5 years.
And the price just went up. It just went up. Right. It's now like $15 a month for text messaging.
That's because no one's using it.
No, everyone's using it. That's why it went up.
Eric, keep on telling us about your data thing. It's so funny. Just keep on going. It's like a comedy sketch.
We could do like a two Ronnies thing, most definitely, on why Eric's broadband is as bad as it is.
Well, I just want to finish my thought from earlier, though, because, you know, it's basically illegal for a municipality or any kind of local government or state government or anything nonprofit to compete with Verizon or whoever the incumbent telco is in the area. In some states, they've actually written the laws, like Verizon or Comcast has written the law and got it passed that they wrote, saying that no one but they can make internet services for market competition, which, of course, is anti-competition. So when the FCC or any government branch comes out and says, we need more broadband, what they're really saying is we need to pay full price, full monopoly price, a monopoly that we created because we said that only these guys would get access to this line that's there. And it's ridiculous. I mean, these prices of what they should get for this national taxpayer funded thing should be more than twice the speed and twice the rollout for a fraction of the price. So whether you're talking about that or for like the poor and rural areas, or just basic internet broadband, we're all just screwed and it just keeps getting worse, actually.
I mean, am I right in saying that the everything everywhere really is everywhere? I mean, if you're on the Orange / what's the other one that's with it? T-Mobile. If you're on the Orange / T-Mobile network, you're going to get 4G in most of the locations, all of the locations that they operate in?
I think, yeah, they're piggybacking off some of the existing stuff. It's certainly the same spectrum they're using. So it's 1800 megahertz for their trial. But you will need new phone and stuff, obviously.
Yeah, now, did you notice the date of that phone and stuff, by the way?
Yeah.
Everything Everywhere service is due to start on the 11th of September. Steve, what are you doing on the 12th, old boy?
On the 12th?
On the 12th of September. Any chance that you're doing anything at the London Mac User Group?
We have doubled the venue and we're hosting a bigger, twice as big an event as we normally do for a keynote.
For what purpose, mate?
For the Apple keynote.
The Apple keynote that hasn't been announced yet.
I hope it has, because we've put a lot of money down to book this venue that we're hiring out. Are you saying that this 4G thing is connected to Apple's announcement?
Well, I'd be under NDA if I had to say that, so no. But it does look a remarkably similar date, does it not?
Well, that's what Amazon thought as well, with the 6th of September as well.
Do you think they're going to go with the 4G service to rival Apple's?
What, in the UK first?
Yeah, that's what it is. Old Bezos is going to stop launching rockets and start providing 4G services in the UK just to beat Apple by 6 days. No?
Maybe.
Am I reaching there? Am I reaching?
Or maybe it's Glacier 4G. Glacier 4G doesn't work, though, does it?
Well, I mean, that's kind of a little... I mean, I think it's perfectly timed because allegedly the new iPhone is coming out on the 12th, and allegedly the new iPhone is going to be a broader reach across the planet, so it's not going to be US only for 4G. Other areas will be catered for, Australia and the UK. It seems remarkably similar that it's that date, does it not?
It'd be the same date, though, wouldn't it?
No, because everyone's been saying 12th for the keynote, 11th. So, I mean, America's never going to do anything on 11th of September, I guess.
But there's no way that it's going to happen.
No, I mean, September 11th is not a date for anyone to launch anything in the US. So
No, and I've got to show you, I've had this sitting here for months now, waiting for an opportunity. Look at this. I got this in the mail. This is like saying I need to renew my... What?
Is this the cool thing?
No, I need to renew my yearly driver's license, right? And they send this thing saying, hey, look, you can get custom license plates, the various California license plates. There's one for education, Save the Whales, one says Art Lover. Now, what is this one? September 11th? Unless you're a terrorist, why would you drive around with a vanity custom license plate that says September 11th?
That's pretty poor.
That's bizarre.
Do you get one with a heart in it as well?
What?
Do you get one of the I Heart September 11th?
Practically. I mean, that's the point of a vanity license plate, obviously, is shown here. You know, it's to put something you love. Why would you love September 11th? Unless you're a terrorist. That's bizarre.
That's kind of cool.
Oh. We'll just edit that out there, because that's what we do.
Yeah, we don't edit anything out.
We got a stubble competition going on there, I think.
The only thing that is going to be between Section 1, Section 2, and Section 3 of this show is a crossfade, dude. And I do editing. You know me. What are we talking about, eh? Was it anything important? Everything everywhere. I think 4G. It's a bad thing. Why have other networks not been allocated access to the spectrum?
That's because the government hasn't worked out how to auction and make loads of money yet. I don't know if you remember the 3G auctions, but the amount of money that the networks ended up paying the UK was government enormous. Was just obscene.
They still haven't paid it back, I would have thought.
Yeah. And I mean, despite the fact that we have cheaper tariffs than the states do now, when the 4G gets sold, I am quite sure that we will be on the end of the stick again for it, and they'll be pulling our money out of our pockets with every tool they have.
So, I mean, but why have Everything Everywhere got access to this? I mean, whose palm have they greased? Whose butt crack have they waxed to get access to this?
It could be anyone. It's
Murdoch's.
The government, you know.
It's Murdoch. I really don't think so.
Why not?
Because it's Murdoch. I don't think you've got anything to do with 3G for this.
No, it must be WikiLeaks then.
Julian Assange.
Yeah.
Julian Assange has probably lost a lot of weight recently, sweating over what he's going to do. I mean, the food in the Ecuadorian embassy can't be that varied.
I've never had
it. I think he sends out for takeout.
Yeah, but he doesn't pay at the door.
Bit close to the mark, isn't it?
Bit close, aye.
He just reach in and grab him.
That's it. They're going to send a pizza delivery boy as an MI6 agent. Here you go, sunshine. Come here. That'd be £25.30, please. Less tip. So no one's pissed off that it's only Orange T-Mobile, Everything Everywhere that's got this, because it just seems monopolistic almost. They're going to get their foothold in the door. They're the only company that have signed a deal with Apple for the new iPhone, allegedly. That'll be the market cornered and snooped straight away. Everyone's going to go to them. This is like O2 with the original iPhone, surely.
Yeah, but Free have got permission recently, haven't they?
For what?
I'm just reading from a news article. Free must be feeling a lot happier. Ofcom's decision must now mean that Everything Everywhere's 1800 megabyte or so megahertz spectrum will now be available to others in the UK. And Three will be one of those people who will get access to it.
But have they got a date on that yet?
I'll put this in the chat room so you can have a look at it.
By the way, the chat room, the Australian in the chat room is saying Assange is a git. So just, there you go. Up-to-date opinion.
I would second that.
Sweating. Someone did send me an email this week that said that last week I looked like I was sweating more than Julian Assange on a plane to Sweden.
What about on a plane to America?
I was hot in here last week, I have to say. The two sweat rings here on the shoulder blades in the Mac Show were real. Definitely.
How's the aircon?
It's not here yet. I went to my... This is the true story. I've always gone about the Kismet being the best curry house in the world, and it is. And I went in last week, and they sold me an aircon unit. they're not just the best curry house in the world. They sell air conditioning as well as. He said, here's one I bought earlier. I never got it fitted. Would you like it? Yes, please. How much? 200 quid. Hang on, I'm going to the cash point. And I gave him 200 quid for it there and then.
What number on the menu was it?
Number 65.
Number 65.
Yeah. It was hot in here last week. It was unfunnily hot last week in the afternoon. Any more stories that we want to go through?
It wasn't curries then, from reading from the chat room, that provided your aircon unit.
It's aircon Vindaloo. No, it wasn't. Looking... curries provided it. Very good. I've only just got that.
Yeah, you're looking decidedly better there this evening.
Oh, it's all right. It's because it's quite a cool evening. It hasn't been hot all day. So there we go. Sarah.
Sorry,
go Ian.
Anything to say about the new Microsoft logo?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, it's not very interesting, but, you know,
well, it's Microsoft.
Expect?
Yeah, exactly. Have you got a link in the chat room there, mate?
I can find one. Give me a sec.
Right, we'll come back to that. Let's do Sarah's Tesco story, because, Sarah, you were interested in the Tesco story.
I mentioned a few weeks ago there was a chap that had exposed some security issues at Tesco's, and I noticed that it seems to have finally hit the wires in terms of news stories this week. Basically, the guy who did it is sounds like he obviously really knows what he's doing in terms of security, and he was asking them some questions, and the answers he was getting back sounded like I don't want to say they don't want to know what I'm talking about, but it sounded like they weren't really taking it seriously. And they admitted some things that probably they shouldn't have done, which wasn't too clever.
So, is this to do with their financial services or is this just general?
No, it's to do with online security.
General online security.
Like logging into the account and so on and so forth, and passwords, the way they store passwords and things like that.
They were also sending passwords and plain text passwords in email.
Yes, if you send a reminder, if you ask for a password, I've forgotten your password, they actually send it to you in a plain text email.
Yeah, that's right. Which is madness. Absolute madness.
Well, there's still a few places do that. I'm sure I've had that done in the last week or so.
Yeah.
But most of the times, I think that sites that do that, they'll send you a one-time password that's a reset, which the idea is you have to change it as soon as you log in. I think, if I've understood it correctly, what they admitted to doing here, or he proved, was that they actually send you what your password is currently. In other words, what you've set it to, which, of course, a lot of people tend to have the same password, so could compromise your security on other websites as well.
Yeah.
If you're dumb enough to have one everywhere.
Yeah, well, you know, or repeating it in certain places. But it's the point is that normally that if you were going to do something like this, you send somebody a one-time password. It's not a particularly good thing to do anyway, but if you're going to do it, at least actually change the password to something temporarily so that you're not compromising somebody's security. After all, you don't, you know, as a site, you don't actually know how and where often somebody may have used that password elsewhere.
No. Absolutely. I mean, realistically, though, is this going to have any repercussions for them, or are they just going to soldier on regardless?
In fact, the story that we're talking about here is that the ICO have actually now said that they are actually going to look into this, which could have serious ramifications for them a case to answer. Oh, no, I agree. I mean, it's good that the ICO have actually grabbed it. If there is anything there... But a bit worrying.
Microsoft's logo then, Ian. Talk us through it, because it does look rather boring.
Well, it's got some squares and it's got a word, and the word is in their new Sego font, which they're using for all their UI and stuff. And obviously the squares are a bit Metro-y, except it's not called Metro anymore. Sorry, no. It's the Windows style, Windows look. I can't even remember what it's called. It's not a very
Isn't it called
name.
The new UI?
Yeah, new. Yes, that's quite correct. New UI. It's a memorable name for anything ever.
Maybe it's just me, but I actually like that.
It's not bad. It's inoffensive, but it's just kind of...
It's great.
Know, quite an opportunity, and they haven't
That's the
really
nicest thing you can say about it. Well, it's inoffensive. I mean, it's devoid of all personality, but it is inoffensive.
Well, I love that logo. It's not shite.
Come on. I mean, we all know the best logos are simple.
I want them to go back. Are you guys looking at this? Look at their 1980 to 81 logo. I want them to go back to that. They look like a heavy metal band.
Yeah, I posted that one in the chat room.
Which one's that? Hang on.
It's codinghorror.com.
Look at the 80 to 81. 1978.
The 81 is a bit kind of spikier. I read in the news article that it says that they haven't changed their logo since 1987 or so. If you go onto Google Images, there's hundreds of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they changed that little colored Windows icon, the little the four colored squares obviously changed with XP and all those things. But then they've been using not Seago, but what was their previous font? Tahoma or something? And they called it Microsoft Sans. And they've been using that for a number of years as their font in relation to Windows. But, I think even that 87 font, at least people recognize it as Microsoft. It has some personality to it.
You are kidding, mate. I mean...
No, not that one. Not that one.
Well, that's the one from...
I've got a floppy disk cover that's actually got that on from 1981.
That's the logo from 78, is it not?
No, click my link. I found it on seattletimes.com. It's on... You see that one?
Right, I'll click that one. But that logo is allegedly from 1978.
Yeah, that one's terrible.
If you're British and you look at that, what do you think?
BBC Micro.
No.
No.
Superstars. No?
What's that?
No? I don't know what you're talking about, Ewan.
Superstars, the TV show.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That's kind of, it's not the font, but it's close enough.
Talking about logos and Microsoft.
Yes.
Is this a point in the show to have a quiet moment of reflection for the guy who had Zune tattooed on his arse?
Not really, because it's his own fault.
Indeed.
Okay. Maybe he did it ironically.
No, he didn't.
Did it afterwards.
Actually, that's going to be the next... You give it like one more year, that's going to be the next ironic hipster t-shirt. So everything's going to be Zune.
Zune on my arse. You reckon we could get away with that as a show title?
There we go. Now you found the right one. That'd be awesome. Nice. Could you imagine...
That's Metallica.
That is Metallica.
That's hideous.
Have we got a picture of the bloke's arse with Zune tattooed on it? Because we've got to show that.
Google is your friend.
I can't see how that would be inoffensive in any way whatsoever. Steve hasn't said a word now for 30 minutes, which means he's never coming back or we've lost his Skype line.
I was setting up a SkyDrive on a Mac for the first time the other day and testing that out. And when I went to the SkyDrive .live.com, wherever the URL is, logged into the web interface, I noticed that they changed... I was looking at tutorials, the old interface and screenshots I noticed was like Windows 7. It had gradients, it had folder icons, it had the other icons. You look at it now, it's just blue rectangles. The icon for a folder is a blue rectangle, completely unadorned. It doesn't even look like a folder. I think it's about time to say that this new Metro UI and this new direction is just fundamentally wrong and ill-conceived. You can't replace a functional icon of a folder with a meaningless blue rectangle and expect people to know what that means.
Yeah, I agree. It sounds like they've gone a bit far with a new UI in terms of, hey, we've got this look and everything has to have this look. And they haven't really followed through in terms of the functionality, I think. Sorry for bringing up an Apple-y link, but John Gruber linked to something earlier today. Somebody was reviewing the mail client in the new Windows 8. And they were saying, you know, it doesn't have a search and you can't like filter by the different properties of the mail. You can't sort by dates. And it's kind of like, well, is that just because they're so committed to this new look and feel, or is it just they haven't finished it? What is it?
I don't know. I mean, has anyone played with the new UI yet?
No, I saw that Dell's results came out and they were drastically down, and they blamed the fact that nobody was excited about Windows 8 or holding off and purchasing Windows 7.
Yeah, and HP as well. They had like a $9 billion loss for this quarter, thanks to a write down. That's quite a lot of money.
But they've lost a lot as well through this cock up over what's it? Haven't they? With the they've set a lot aside for that. What's the name of it? Oh, the thing that was last week. Old Meg's flown out to try and solve the problem. The financial thing. No. You remember. Steve, I just want to point out, you do know that that's not his arse.
It is.
What?
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I mean, he's an arse.
Oh, right. You said Zoon. You said he had one tattooed on his ass.
I got too excited.
Oh, right. It's his arm.
Arm.
I was going to say, if that's your control of anatomy, I can see where your wife wants you to shave.
Can't find his arm with both hands.
He looks a bit concerned about it in that photo, doesn't he?
Although maybe his arm and his ass do blend into one there. He is a rather large chap.
He's kind of looking, thinking, have I made the right decision here in that photo, isn't he?
I'm more thinking, is that a goatee beard or a handlebar moustache?
Hey, don't have a go at beards.
I think it's a tiny part of the
same, could be said of you, Steve.
It's not working out very well.
There's a tiny part of his brain there that's going, somebody's going to put this photo on the internet, aren't they?
Yes. The only thing that could add insult to injury is if Microsoft sued him for copyright and trademark infringement.
He does have a bit of a look of fear in his eyes, doesn't he? Like, I shouldn't have pulled this up. Never mind. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're brilliant. You know, if you want a website for something. Now, we were out the other night, weren't we, Steve, having beer?
Yes.
And we thought of a great curry writing website name.
I'm not taking any responsibility for this.
No, I'll guarantee you that the name that I chose was all mine, and it may be wholly inappropriate for broadcast. But when we discussed it with a few people in the pub, there was a few people high-fived me. They thought it was a decent name.
Not the three girls.
Not the three girls. No, they thought...
Who turned away and walked away from you quite quickly.
Yeah, I was drunk. But they also hated Andy's. Because Andy's was really boring. Mine, however, was not really boring. But I said, I wonder if it's available. And I pulled out my iPad and I went to our website and I clicked on the logo and I went through to UK2.net and I typed in ringticklers.com and it was available. And I bought the .com and the .co.uk website in 5 minutes. And I got 20% off the domain names and I got no DNS management charge. And... Sarah sent me a tweet within a couple of minutes saying, do you really want me to point this towards the server? You can get web addresses that quickly. If you want a website address, go to our website, click on the logo for UK2.net. You can type in virtually anything. And if it's available, they'll be able to give it to you. They'll give you 20% off the purchase price. So you're probably paying about £5 for a .co.uk for 2 years. And they're going to give you 20% off that. So there's a pound coming off that straight away over 2 years. They've got loads of other things available. If you go to their website, it'll open in a new tab. Go back to our website in the previous tab and click on sponsors. And there's a whole pile of codes in there. You can get VPS, VPN, anything you like for web. They are the people to help you. They're fantastic. And every time you buy from them via our click-through, you're supporting our network. We don't get paid anything from them. They just support all of the bandwidth that we consume, which has been rather large in the last few months. So thank you, UK2. They don't blink an eyelid. They just say, no problem. Here you go. Give me a bit more. And off we go and running. So you're supporting and keeping the British Tech Network alive by going to UK2 and buying your web services from them. Please keep going. We love them to bits. Thank you very much, UK2. Right. Now, Steve, we do a thing called a cool thing here, which is just a thing for the week that you've found that you think's really cool. So we'll come to your last, mate, because we've kind of sprung that on you a little bit. But
yeah,
anything you like. It can be anything from the web at all, a video, a purchased item, whatever you want. Starting us off, though, is Mr. Neighbour.
I've got two, I think.
Oh, blimey.
First,
you stole Eric's
trimmer.
Thunder.
I've got a beard trimmer here. It's a Philips beard trimmer.
Is it set a little bit high for your beard?
Steve, you've stolen Eric's thunder.
What? Eric's got a beard trimmer as well?
No, well, you know, he's got two and he's making a big deal out of it. And it's
I was going to shave live on the air.
I thought I had three, actually. Anyway, Philips beard trimmer, available on Amazon. It's very good.
So
let's have a shave-off.
What?
Shave-off on live on air.
So are you suggesting that you bought that Philips beard trimmer in the faint hope that you're going to be able to keep that facial hair?
Well, no, I bought it to do my eyebrows, but it also does my beard.
Right, but you know you're going to be clean shaven 30 seconds after Carly gets home.
Yeah. can I recommend something a bit rubbish? Well,
you're wearing pink earphones. Of course you can.
I purchased the Islands of Wonder album from the opening ceremony of the Olympics,
and
it's excellent.
It is good. The music was good for the opening ceremony.
It's all the music was produced by the Underworld guys, and it's £9, I think, on iTunes. But there's what used to be two records on here. There's something like 40 tracks on there, and they're all brilliant. So
£9, yeah. 40 tracks. That's not bad at all.
That's my thing that I've been enjoying this week.
Excellent, sir. Excellent. Sarah, what have you got for us, Mrs.?
Wow. Yeah, this week, I may remember I said, was it last week or the other week, about some work in progress? Well, I think I can finally actually say about this now.
Oh, tantalise us.
Yeah, I know. I have moved from Ubuntu. I am no longer using Ubuntu.
But you can't. You're the Ubuntu girl.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've now got a better operating system.
Oh, go on.
Linux Mint Cinnamon. It is awesome. Absolutely awesome. I've been trialing it for some time now in a VM and playing with it. And last weekend, I finally took the bit, the whatever, and went for it and installed it on my, as my host OS on my laptop, and managed to get VMware working with it. And it works an absolute dream. And I love it. Absolutely love it. It's fantastic. Simple, straightforward, does what it says on the can, and is not some of the crap versions that Ubuntu are moving to.
Well, I was going to say, though, what's better about it?
It's simple. It's a, if you are if you want an alternative to Windows, it's a lot easier to understand, and it's a lot more Windows-like than Ubuntu.
Yeah, but cinnamon and mint, I mean, do those flavors even go together?
Well, cinnamon is the name of, it's a new UI that they've actually put together. You can get KDE to go with it, and various other including GNOME and stuff like that. But Cinnamon, I thought, well, I'll actually try the new UI, and absolutely love it. It does take a little bit of getting used to, and I've had to do a couple of tweaks to do some of the things I wanted to do. But generally, very straightforward, and I love it. Absolutely love it.
Excellent. And it's free, of course.
Yeah, of course it's free. And just as a link back to another story that we had, you know, I said we were talking about download speeds, and I didn't notice a difference. It's 800 meg, and I downloaded it in about 15 seconds.
Right. Oh, dear. Eat that and weep, Lanigan.
So I was going to say, not on Comcast.
Eric, you have two for us. Wherever you are, stop what you're doing and listen for the next 30 minutes, because Eric will probably not breathe.
Can we have a drum roll, please?
And we'll
I can turn the drums on.
Yeah, go on.
Go for it. Let's have a cymbal splash at the end.
It'll be a bit...
Mr. Lanigan, pray tell, what on earth have you uncovered twice?
All right. Well, I found a new gem on Xbox Live Arcade for $15. It is a new 2D or 2.5D side-scrolling game. This is straight 2D. This is called Dust and Elysian Tale. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I don't know what that word is, Elijah and Elysian. But Dust, look for Dust. And it's the brand new as part of their Summer of Arcade series. They just came out, I think, in August. It is very interesting. If you're a fan of side scrollers, this is Metroid meets Zelda meets Rayman Origins. It's sort of like Metroid in the way that you progress. You're in a world, a very open world that has like a grid based map like that, where you go, you go down to the dungeons, but you also go into the overworld and stuff. And you collect upgrades, and you get like your abilities improve. And as they do, you can go back and revisit previous areas you couldn't get to the next area through first. Then you can traverse that area and find the items or the collectibles or upgrade your path or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like Zelda, you have little side quests, and the people give you you meet up with townsfolk, and they say, hey, if you deliver these materials to my friend in the mountains, he'll give you such and such. And you do these little side quests, and you get a whole new upgrades and money as a result of those little quests. It's the reason I say Rayman Origins is because it's done in the hand-painted, watercolored style of Rayman Origins. It looks very similar to that. The production value in this game is amazing. I mean, it's a huge, vast world to explore. It has an interesting combat system. It's also kind of like an arcade game, like one of those just like hack and slash, like one of those classic arcade games where you have just like, it's just like button mashing, but you can do these like crazy combos where like suddenly you got like 15 enemies and they're all in the air, and you got like the electricity and fire and sparks flying everywhere, and you do these massive like 1,000 hit combo attacks. It's pretty crazy. It's quite a deal for $15, and they have a free demo, so it's check that out. And if you like that, what?
That's very good.
It is very good. And I wanted to the one weak part, the weak part about it, though, is some of the characters and the dialogue and stuff are just really cheesy and corny. And you'll be just pressing A all the time, just to go skip, 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 skip. But the other thing, the reason I added the second cool thing to this is if that idea excites you, if you like that kind of Super Metroid classic 2D side-scrolling upgrade process or that old 2D dungeon crawler kind of thing, and to be clear, this is not overhead. This is not like Zelda where you move like up, down, left, right over a land. You cannot move in a Z axis. So it's much more like Metroid as far as that goes. And in that similar thing, Vane, there's a similar game called Shadow Complex that came out a few years ago, which is more of it's also $15 on Xbox Live, and it's also an Xbox Live exclusive. I got this like 3 years ago when it came out, and it's one of my favorite games of all time for the Xbox Live Arcade for $15. It's basically a lovingly reproduced clone of Super Metroid brought forward in the gorgeous HD photorealistic graphics. Shadow Complex, unlike Dust is like a watercolor kind of hand-drawn thing, more like Rayman Origins. Shadow Complex, much more gritty and realistic. It takes place in like a real underground, like factories, and you're like this guy who's trying to rescue his girlfriend from this, like, I think it's an invasion. He comes across some kind of, I think it's like North Korea's invading or some kind of story. I don't know. But basically, that's all human beings. That's all like real. What am I trying to say? Like, not modern warfare, but like a more realistic, photorealistic type of thing. But it's the Metroid kind of style. So you've got these crazy weapons, and you can have a jet pack, and just all this stuff. It's great. $15 for each of these games, and if you liked Metroid and those older Castlevania, that kind of thing, you will love this. And the graphics are unbelievable. So Dust and Elysian Tail and Shadow Complex, both $15 Xbox Live exclusives. Give them a try. They both have free demos that let you get a good feel for them before you buy.
You haven't seen any sunlight this week, have you, mate?
No, sir.
You've been sat inside playing games all day, every day for the last 10 days.
I forgot to mention also Dust. Funny story, it's actually created by a single man. He drew everything, all the backgrounds. He came up with the gameplay. He formulated the whole power up and upgrade system and the progression and the pseudo RPG kind of elements.
Is that why it's cheap?
I guess, but it's also, I mean, considering that one guy did this, it's amazingly deep and intricate game. And it looks, again, the non-playable characters are kind of corny looking. They're just kind of like generic, like bunny people in like a Japanese anime style. It's weird, but the bad guys are very artistically done, much more like, much very creative. It's pretty cool, and it's got an interesting combat system, so give it a shot.
Excellent, mate. There we go. That was Eric Lanigan with two picks when he normally doesn't even bring one. Well done, mate. Ian, do you have a cool thing for us?
I do. I would like to say Shadow Complex is awesome. I played it a few years ago as well. It's one of those games where I got all but one of the items. So I've got like a 99% completion rate, and I'm going to go back to it someday, but I just haven't got the heart just yet. The thing I found this week was a friend recommended this to me. Unfortunately, it's not yet available in the UK, but it is. It's the Patriot Gauntlet Node. I'm just going to stick a link to the chat room there. And what it is, it's a hard drive enclosure with built-in USB 3 and Wi-Fi and a battery pack. So you stick your hard disk in there, 2.5-inch mobile hard disk, and then you flick it on, you charge it up, you flick it on, and then it just serves your files over Wi-Fi to like your computer and all your other wireless devices, which is pretty neat. Seagate just do a similar thing, but it's not quite as flexible. Apparently you have to use their software, but this sounds like a really neat idea, and I'm looking forward to getting one when they're available over here in the UK.
So how long have we got to wait until they're available over here?
I wish
in
the I knew.
UK?
There are a few Patriot stockists in the UK, but I haven't made inquiries with any of them just yet. I only found out about it yesterday.
So does it work as a NAS type thing then, in terms of it's got Wi-Fi on it, so it connects to your internet? Your network?
Yeah. And you know, it will talk to your iPhone and your iPad, I think, as well. So
currently just under $100 in the States, so on the pound to dollar ratio at the moment on the exchange rate, it means it'll be £100. Because they always get that wrong. Good pick, mate. Good pick. Steve W., do you have anything for us?
I would have said my new Toshiba laptop, but I think the video camera's a bit dodgy, to be honest.
It's still got the plastic on, I swear. It just scratched the lens for me. Go on, just humour me. Go on.
No.
No, it's just crap.
Yeah, it's just crap. So there you go. But no, one thing I have been impressed with, I don't know if anyone had read, but Dig had been kind of taken over and rewritten from scratch. You know, the kind of news network. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been using the app for the last week or so, and I think that the new app's so much cleaner, so much more fresh than the previous the app that they had. So that's one thing that I've been really impressed with this week.
Excellent. I stopped using Dig. I have to say, I did use it when I used to do The Daily Show, and it was kind of my barometer that other people were voting up the stories I was going to read out that day. But
yeah, since how long ago was that?
That's probably more than a year. That's probably nearly 18 months back. So,
They rewrote the whole thing in the space of about 3 months. So a company took the domain, they rewrote the whole thing from top to bottom, and then they launched it about a month ago again, or relaunched it. And to me, I think the iPhone app's amazing. I think it's fresh.
I'll give
it
a go again then. That's
yeah, you should point. Do it. Yeah.
My pick is an eBay web store called StockGraphX. Stock, STOCK, GRAFX, all one word. And it's run by a guy named Andy, who's a listener to the shows. And he's a wonderful, wonderful guy. And he sent me an email saying, was there anything on there that I fancied? And I went, and he's got a few dozen cool iPhone covers. Here's one from the Joker from Batman. What's his face there? I can't remember his name. The guy that was the Joker anyway. But you peel them off. They're really good quality graphics. And they skin the back of your iPhone or your screen. And that's the back one that goes on. And then that's the front one that goes on. And your screen shows through it. And they look absolutely dandy. And they're about £4. £3-4. And there's no postage on them as well. He just sticks them in an envelope and sends them to you. And they get there next day. And he's a great bloke. Really lovely guy. And the reason he's a great bloke is he said, could he make some for the British Tech Network? So, coming soon, extremely soon, and I'll tell you when, there will be a series of Stock Graphics covers to go on your iPhone. There's going to be some skins, hopefully, for other phones as well, but we're just going to start with iPhones to begin with. You can get a BTN skin and stick that on. I don't know the price yet, but it'll be around the £4 mark, which is what all of them are. Or you can get a great one. I love this cover. This is every show logo that we've got on the front and the back. And it's called Explosion.
Bit bright, isn't it?
Logo Explosion. And I'll be getting one of those for sure. Now, we don't get any money from these. We're not franchising these or anything like that. Andy's going to get all the money for doing it. But they'll go up on his site. And if you want one, then get one. We'll tweet out when they're available. But they're coming in the next week or two. There's going to be individual shows as well. So you'll be able to get one with Big Show on, Max Show on, Photo Show and so on, where the logo's on the back with photo on it, and then the front will just be the flag on the front.
Steve, are you beta testing one on your laptop at the minute? Is that what's in front of the lens?
Could be. Chat room's still agreeing with me. They reckon you've still got the plastic on. So. Oh, he's gone entirely. I've really upset him now. Yeah. Stop taking the piss out of my laptop. I'm off. There we go. He's gone. But I love the British Tech one's great. And the aluminium effect really comes out on that, which I think is fantastic. So we'll tell you what it is. But if you want anything else, the Batman ones are great. There's like some Marilyn Monroe ones on there. And there's some other British flag ones and so on. But they're only a couple of quid. And they come in the post next day. And he's a lovely, lovely guy. So please support his shop if you can. Stock Graph X. StockGraphX on eBay. Thank you, Andy. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Neighbour?
London Bat News Group, and we have a big event coming up on the 12th of September. I blink and hope, because we've paid a lot of money to book a huge venue, which is in the London Bridge area, which is the George Pub. It's the George Inn. It's a very famous pub. It has its own Wikipedia page. Mm-hmm. It's 5 minutes walk from London Bridge Station, and that is where we were going to host the keynote event for the 12th.
And I'll be there.
Excellent.
As well, hopefully.
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
Steve Wexelstein, you can get at S Wexelstein on Twitter, and you can also get him at the Open Ear Music, which is a different way of delivering music to you. That's based in Glasgow, is the CTO there. Thank you for coming on, Steve. Sorry, we're taking the piss out of your screen. Sarah, where are you, Mrs.?
I'm on the Twitters at Sarah Jane UK.
And Eric, you?
ericlanigan.com and twitter.com/ericlanigan, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-I-G-A-N.
Thank you. And Ian Mack, where are you, sir?
I'm also on Twitter, M-A-N-I-A-C-Y-A-K, or Maniac Yak. And because Steve's mentioned the London Mac user group, I'm going to mention the Edinburgh Mac user group, and we're not doing anything for the keynote, so there.
Oh, well, you, I mean, you should, man, you should.
Well, maybe we will. We'll just have to see.
We'll have to do it. We should do a link-up where we get Mac user groups from each of the four corners of the British Isles.
That'd be
cool. And while you're there, you've got to find this out for
Not
me. I think
thing.
This would be the coolest iPhone cover ever. I've had this idea since we were on the subject of iPhone covers. I would like to see an iPhone cover that goes over the phone like this, but I think it'd be the coolest, like, hipster, retro, ironic cover. You make your iPhone look like a beige Macintosh from the 90s. You know, like with the...
There's already one out there.
Cover like that.
There is one. Can you send it to me? Because I've always wanted to see something like that. But I mean, like actual, like actual plastic, though. So like it actually feels and has the texture of like that exact kind of thing that they have.
This is just like a skin. But yeah, I know what Ian's talking about. There was one on Engadget this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm picturing like the old, like the Power Mac G3 or the Performa, like the very last beige models ever made. Because it's so ironic. Because it's like that was from the age of Apple's imminent demise, everyone thought, you know, and make your iPhone, which is the symbol of the rebirth, you know, covered looking like it came from the 90s. I think that'd be funny.
Think Geek.
Okay, there's a link to the iPad one in the chat room there.
Okay, I'll check. Let me see.
And it's actually a preformed cover that fits on the back of your iPad. And it gives you the texture and everything. It's not a sticker skin or anything. It's a proper piece of plastic hardware. There we go. I found the picture and covered
it. Oh, whoa, that one. Oh, okay. Well, that looks like the 1984 Mac.
Yeah. With Hello on it.
What?
With Hello on it.
Cool. Not from the 90s, but yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you want one from when you were alive.
Right.
We were alive. We'd left school at that point. That's the issue.
This is ancient.
You know, you just need to petition them. You know, you need to say, well, you know, Mac users were alive in the 90s too. We didn't die out.
We went through school when the exams were hard. There you go. Another one. See? Another Joker cover. £4. That's nice too. You get a front and a back for £4 as well. It's not just the one. So there you go. Sorry about the audio last week. We had a bit of trouble with the sound card. That's what was causing the popping and the chipmunk voices. I tried to get rid of the chipmunk voices and I managed, but I didn't get rid of the popping, unfortunately, and made it worse. Do apologise. This week should be fine, apart from the fact that we restarted the show 3 times. You won't notice, I promise. See you next week for the big show, 8 p.m. Thursday. Tomorrow we got the photo show at 2, and then we got the Mac show at 3:30 as normal. And then it'll be the weekend. Oh, we can't wait. Thanks for watching.